Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
Come on, give it up for Jesus today. Come on, Faith Church. Come on, Florida. It'll be a great day. Total eclipse of the heart. How many kids from the 80s do we have in the building? How many of that was your jam? Raise your hand. How many of it took you back to some feathered hair and some parachute pants? Raise your hands. All right, I'm excited about that. Those two people from our church, amazing. Blake, the guy who was singing, he's a doctor, has many practices in here in St. Louis, but I held him when he was a baby. He was in my dad's church. His family did great with him. And then Precious, she's an actor, and they just killed it. I mean, they're not together, but I thought, they're going to kiss. It was just there. It was amazing. And then I have to say this just because it's pride. I'm going to warn you, it's pride. But all that last part, that was me singing. So it really was. So they wouldn't have told you that, but it really was. That's why it sounded like Rod Stewart had been smoking. Come on, somebody. Total eclipse of the heart. So reality versus, you know, your expectation. What they thought they sounded like and what they really sounded like when they got in the room. How many of y'all think the kid with the little cone on his head really said it best when his face was so disappointed? And so what we sound like and what we think we sound like oftentimes are very different. So it would sound like this. You're at church. You're like, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. You know, I'm favored. I'm anointed. And then you get to the gas pump and you're with everybody else and you say, man, this gas is high. Man, I just seem like there's more month than money. So when we go to church, we think we sound right, but then we get in our real day job, our real life, and we go and say, man, I saw a meme yesterday. It was really funny. It was like a guy, and he said, I don't really like to brag about expenses places that I've been, but I was at the grocery store today. Come on, right? So we could go right into this world system, and we could think that it's normal, it's politically correct, it would make people feel good if we said this. Here's the problem. If you are a faith-speaking man, faith-speaking woman, you're orbiting in a different realm. This guy's orbiting around. It's a mannequin, but we've used him for a lot of things. And he's got on the helmet of salvation. He's suited up, and he's prepared to operate in a different atmosphere. So for you to have a recession-free life in this suppressed economy, you have to think different, you have to speak different, and you've got to see different than everybody else is seeing. Yeah. See, everything you're sitting in right now, these chairs, by the way, it was $655,000 to buy those chairs. I remember because I had to get the money for them. I remember that this campus, this one here, is $37 million. Earth City, you're sitting there, $21 million. In Florida, the buildings that you're sitting in, all of that started in my heart, got up in my mouth, and the next thing you know, I just started talking about it. And I started decreeing what was going to happen into my life instead of saying, I'm from Missouri. Show me. The show me thing. I went to homeschool. My mom was my teacher, which made prom really weird. Okay, I didn't graduate high school. Nicole's got enough degrees to be a thermostat, but I could look and say, hang on a minute, here's what I'm not, or I could say, here's who I am, here's what I'm called to do, and I'm going to get my mouth right, come on somebody, and I'm just going to line up with the word, because I'm in this world, but I'm not really from here, I'm from a different planet, and I'm having a temporary earthly experience, because my father, who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, he actually flung this whole thing into being with words. The reason why words can move mountains is because mountains were made out of words. God created it. He looked out in the abyss of darkness and he said, let there be. Most of us would have said, man, it's dark out there. How would you ever make light happen? When God said, let there be light, light released out of his mouth and started flinging around the earth's surface seven times in 1 second. 187,000 miles per second. That's what light does. In fact, you can't see without light. There's a thing now called LASIK. Also liposuction. Come on, can I get an amen? There's a lot of new technology. And so if you want to see better, they can take laser or light and they can get rid of stigmatisms and cut things off. And now you can see because light can beget light. And so the Bible says when the entrance of his word gives you light, then no longer are you walking in darkness. You get up on Monday and say, I went to church on Sunday. I'm in a group and I know who I am. I'm blessed. I'm favored. I'm anointed. Something good's going to happen to me. You can't lose with the stuff I use. You say, well, I just don't believe in that kind of stuff. I don't believe in speaking this stuff and calling stuff that's not there. Come on, man. I love that when people ask me that. So I usually start with this one. I go, do you have a dog? Yeah, what's that got to do with anything? Do you let the dog outside? Yeah. Have you ever went outside and you couldn't see the dog? And you yelled, hey, Fido! You couldn't see that dog. Yeah. But you were calling that dog because you believed that dog was out there. And so you telling me you don't talk to stuff? Yeah. Well, you got me on that one. Okay, what about a thermostat? You come inside, you ever went inside and your house was hot, it was 78 degrees, and it wasn't just because your wife was in there. Can I get an amen? It's quiet. This is the 9 a.m. crowd. It'll get better by noon. These people are very conservative white people. I need a little caffeine. I need a little, I can't wait to get to Earth City so I can have a, yellow Jesus, somebody on it. Even the organ, they don't even turn the organ up in this church. Paying him, he's not even on. All right, so you go in there at 78 degrees and you went over and you turned it to 69. And you didn't turn it to 69 and say, I don't believe it'll ever happen. God, I'm not such a beggar. I did bad. You just turned it to 69. And by faith, you walk away believing that the desired temperature in which you set is going to manifest in time. That's why the Bible said, don't grow weary in well-doing. You will reap if you faint not. But see, sometimes we're just a little off. NASA, a few years ago, I like studying a little bit about space and aeronautical stuff, and NASA launched a communications satellite for $250 million, but within a year, it would generate $200 billion with a B if it worked right. But when they launched that communications satellite off into orbit and into space, it was just a little off, so it didn't work at all. But they put some rocket boosters on it and they begin to, and they put it in the right place. And all they needed to do is get the latitude and the longitude right. And then the next thing you know, now it started firing and working. And their $250 million project that was going to generate $200 billion worked because it was at the right spot. See, many times what happens is you're listening to CNN, you're listening to Fox, CSNBC, hate saying this because he goes to our church, the owner of Newsmax, but it's all the same stuff. It's just, it's a problem, and you're going to die, and then Y2K was going to get you. Remember that was going to get you? And then the housing bubble was going to get you, and the tech bubble was going to get you, and the crash of 2008, only equal of that kind of tragedy and setback was the Great Depression. And guess what? You're still alive. Now you're paying $19 a gallon to fill up your moped, but you're still here. So we can either say, hey, I'm going to control my orbit and I'm going to make sure that my expectation, what I think people are hearing, is what they're hearing. I tell our team all the time because I coach campus pastors, that's what we do. Here's how we say it. Here's how we do it. You can even tell somebody blah, 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 whatever, correct you, or you could go, hey, man, let me tell you something. I think this is really good. See the smile? It's fake, but it's there. It's like, hey, man, you know what, man? This is really good, but it could be great. So what we could do is, how many of y'all think that's a lot more palatable than, you know what, it kind of sucked? Come on, raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about? So it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. Let's all shout that. It's not just what you say. We could even say, you could say, hey, Pastor David, how you doing today? And I could go, I'm doing good and getting better. How many of y'all know I'm saying something here? And I got words, but how many of y'all are not buying what I'm selling? But if you ask me how I'm doing, I go, hey, I'm doing good and getting better. I woke up today, and when my feet hit the ground, the devil said, oh, no, he's awake again. How many of y'all kind of buying that? Because this is lining up with this. Gotcha? So we're called to manage the earth. In the beginning, some of the first words recorded in history in the Bible are, let there be light. God said something, and God said. Then he put Adam and Eve in the garden. Remember that right now? They were butt naked, no kids, no TV, no bills, having a good time. Getting a little more awake in this Presbyterian crowd. All you got to do is throw a butt naked, no kids, and you get a little bit of rush. By the way, Joel Osteen has never done this on a Sunday morning. But he said, you manage. He said, I'm putting you here in this earth realm. This is how to recession-proof your life. And he said, to subdue and to occupy. So you can just meander through life, being a wandering generality. You never know what God's going to do. Murphy's Law kicks in. You know, I'm just getting old. I got Alzheimer's disease. I reach down to pull up my socks, and it was my skin, and you laugh. Don't say that. When you say that, your brain goes into this mode. We studied all that on the brain. You ought to go back and figure that out. And all of a sudden now there's ruts in your brain that are releasing to your body. You're getting old because your body responds to what you say. Watch me. My body, my brain is going to tell me right now. I'm going to tell myself to wiggle my toes in my right shoe. They're going, I promise you. I'm going to tell it to lift my left leg. A little spiritual hokey pokey right now, and I'm going to tell it to move itself around. Come on, somebody. I'm going to make my right hand go up, and I'm going to make this hand go all the same. All this is going on because I'm telling my brain what to do, so my body corresponds. So that's why you get up in the morning and say, with long life, he'll satisfy me and show me his salvation. I'm a success going somewhere to manifest. I'm healed because God said so and because I said so. Sickness and disease, you have no right to live in my body. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get out of my house. Somebody ought to give God praise today. We're called to manage. We are managers. We got that. We're managers. Job 22, verse 28. By the way, Job was very wealthy. And it says, you will decide and decree a thing, and it will be established for you. And the light, there's that word light, the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. You will also decide and decree. Decide and decree. I want you to shout that with me. Decide and decree. Come on, Florida, everybody. What is that? One more time. First, you got to decide. Decision is important. You decide. Then you decree. You ever seen like a possum or something dead in the road, got killed? He didn't decide. Bam! If you're from Missouri, you go out and feel it and make sure it's still warm. It's still warm. You take it home and eat it. Come on, somebody. I'll help you right now. Florida, you don't know about this. These people in Missouri, they have deer heads in their trailer with the gun, with the paws, like, this is what killed me. You can't be half-hearted. You're either in or you're out. You have to decide. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think that he will receive anything from God. You don't just go up to space because you decided to go to space. They got to train you. You got to go through training. You got to go through physical challenges. You got to know what button to hit and what button not to push. And then in time, after you get the information, then now they put you in a rocket. And then, by the way, the rocket also has, I'm going to talk about that next week, it's got pieces on it that fall off on the way up. So when you go up, it needed all this fuel, but they don't need the extra weight, so it falls off in the ocean. I'm here to tell you that some people have fallen off from your life because their part in your plate is over. So don't cry about who left you. Don't cry about the job that you lost. Somebody ought to help you right now, because when you're on your way up, you can't take everything with you. You've got to decide. Somebody ought to shout, I got to decide. Yeah, I'm preaching this thing right now. That's what I'm doing. I got 16 minutes and 20 seconds to fill this, finish it. Then I'm going to go do it at Earth City. Then I'm going to come back here and do it again. I'm going to do it at Earth City one more time. And then I'm going to go have a piece of chicken. Can I get an amen? Amen. So you decide and then you decree. So when you decide, you do decree. You decide you're going to marry her. You say this. Then she says, I do. And then you do the rest of your life together. But you got to decree it. So decide it. Decree it. I always say that like this. I like to see it in my heart. I see it. I saw Florida. I saw me on television. I saw everything God called me to do. I would see it. Then I would say it. Then I would seize it by my faith. And then eventually I would physically see it. You're sitting in chairs that I saw. See, when I first started, I had no promise of a preferred future. I had to just say, here, what did God call me to do? And then I said, God, I know what your plan is for my life. Now I'm going to follow that plan, but I'm going to keep myself orbiting. My language is going to be your language. So I won't say what most people say. I just don't have enough money. You never know what God's going to do. This economy's terrible. America's best days are over. No. We still live, in my opinion, the greatest country in the whole wide world. If you don't believe me, go to other countries. I'm telling you, we got it going on. I realize it's under attack, but if words are powerful, and they are, there was somebody that said, God bless America, and they put it to a song. And we've sang it for years. In fact, I'll prove it to you. Let's go. God bless America. Sing it loud, church. Okay, that's good. So you know the song. So we've been saying that. And when Christians said that and people said that, God blessed America. You can't undo that. It's going to take a long time to undo that. So I'm here to tell you today that words are significant, and God has managed to put people in the earth realm who have tapped into, they can have what they say. So you can decide it. Then you decree it. Now, here's the thing. I wrote this down. It feels weird first, when you first do it, speaking to inanimate objects. Let's read it. Mark 11, it says, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw a fig tree that dried up from the roots. Dried up from the roots. Not just the fruit, the roots. And Peter, remembering Jesus saying, he said, hey, Rabbi, the fig tree that you cursed withered away. Like, I'm surprised. Yesterday you did it, and it withered away. And Jesus said to them, have faith in God, for I surely say to you, whoever says unto the mountain, be thou removed, be cast to the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes, everybody shout, believes those things which he will be done for him, he will have whatever he says, whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe, there's that word believe, shout it again, class, what? Believe, and you will receive them. There's a significance in saying, and what's happening here is Jesus is walking down the road with his disciples, and this account, true account, historic account, this massive fig tree is there, and it appears that it has fruit, but it really doesn't have any fruit. It's just fronting, like a lot of Christians. And so Jesus looks at it. He's excited. It's like the drive. It's like Chick-fil-A. He's going to get something to eat. And when he pulls up to the drive-thru, there ain't nothing there. And so he sees it, and he curses the tree. And he cursed it then. And he believed it died from the roots when he said it. His disciples, they're unfamiliar with this. So they just go on about their business. The next day they're walking. And Peter says, Jesus, the tree actually died. And Jesus is like, of course it died. It died when I said it was going to die. Because he believed it. And he said it. See, a lot of times people believe stuff, but they don't say stuff. Or sometimes, I just heard the Holy Spirit say this, sometimes they do believe stuff and they do say stuff, and that's why they get stuff. People say, I don't believe in that. Doesn't work for me. Well, it does work for you. Because you always say, I'm broke. All the good men are gone. We're not saying what we have. We're saying what we want to have. Because God exhibited this in the first book of the Bible, in the first verse of the Bible, and he said, let there be light. If you don't say nothing, you ain't going to get nothing. You got to ask or you don't receive. You got to speak, and you are a speaking spirit. You say, well, I believe that about Jesus, but what about me? You don't know what I've done. No, you don't know what he's done. 2,000 years ago when he died, and he was NASA, the word NASA, they took it from the Bible. It's an actual Greek word. It means to lift off. And Jesus lifted off NASA. He NASA'd off of us principalities, powers, sickness, and death, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And right now, Jesus is the right hand of the Father. He's not in your heart. It's okay to teach people, little kids, Jesus in your heart, but theologically it's wrong. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession, passed through prayers for you. And the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the counselor, the one that Jesus said he would leave with us, he's on the inside of us, and he's the one that told you quit eating so much Krispy Kreme. He's the one that told you to slow down because there was a cop over the hill. He's the one that told you to go back and tell your wife or your husband that you're sorry. He's not in a condemning way, but in a convicting way, letting you know how to live your life in peace, equality, transparency. Somebody ought to help me right now. He's in there. So today, if you're having tacos, you need to say, Holy Ghost, I hope you're in the mood for a chalupa, because that's what I'm having today. Raise your hand if that makes sense to you. Now, this will change your life. What I'm telling you changed my life. I grew up in a trailer. We didn't have any money. I grew up poor. And I'm not poor anymore. My family, my daughter doesn't even understand. She doesn't understand the concept of not having money. My grandson doesn't have he won't ever understand the concept, because even Austin the other day, and this is small, but it's something. He was giving him some Cheerios. And so he put a little bit of Cheerios in there, and he said, now that's all I'm giving you. And if you spill that, there's no more. And I said, I don't ever want him thinking there's lack. I took the whole bowl of thing of Cheerios and I just filled the whole thing up. And I said, there's always plenty of Cheerios. Fling Cheerios, eat Cheerios, spin Cheerios. Because if you think you don't deserve it, and if you don't think the world has a surplus, then you have a poverty mentality. And your father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Let me tell you something. In the jungles of Panama, I've been there. The monkeys can't even get to all the bananas. They're wasting bananas everywhere. There's so much oil under the ground, you can't even get to it all. God did not leave us poor. He did not leave us broke. He didn't leave us emaciated. He didn't leave us sick. You know what? The world's trying to make you sick, but Jesus said, guess what? He said, I've ascended and I became poor that you might be rich. I became sick that you might be healed. I realize I can even watch some of the faces. People are like, I just can't go there on that. Talking about money and surplus. Is he one of those prosperity guys? Not in the negative way that you see some hyper stuff, but I do believe that if you're not careful, the enemy will keep you broke, because if you're broke, you can't do jack. You can't help girls in sex trafficking. You can't feed the homeless. We do all this stuff. Can't have ambulances running around today in Haiti. Feels good when we go to bed tonight knowing that we've got hospitals. We're doing a lot of cool stuff. And when I was broke, I was too worried about me, and I just had to feed me. But when you have surplus in your mentality, I'm not talking about waste. I'm just talking about, I don't want you going to the sale rack because you've always been broke, so you never ever buy what you really want. You go to the sale rack every time because you don't think you deserve it. And so therefore you buy 4 shirts that you won't wear, and you should have took the 4 shirt money and bought 1 shirt that you felt good about yourself in it, got a job interview, and walked away going, that's who I am right now. Come on, you got a pimp walk on. Somebody ought to help me right now, because you got to understand that you are anointed. My microphone, I'm sorry, is itching the crap out of my side of my head. This thing, I got me wired here and wired down my back and just wires sweating. Nothing nastier than feeling like a nasty wire just sticking to your back right now. I know this is too much information, but I wanted you to just know why I'm like, ah! This is non-genetically modified preaching. Can I get amen? Yeah. Now, when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, as my last 7 minutes, he didn't look around and go, hey, I'm going to speak to this fig tree, but I want to make sure nobody's looking, because this is going to look really weird. Yeah. How many of y'all don't think Jesus did that? Nope. Jesus was so comfortable with speaking to the fig tree that he did it in front of everybody. Yeah. So this is, for instance, I feel like just a little bit. Earth City, those of you that are sitting there, okay? This was insurmountable for me when I saw your campus. First of all, the electric bill, they said, is $20,000 a month. How many of y'all, that's a lot of money for electric bill. Then they said the taxes were just shy of $1,000 a day. So $365,000 a year in just taxes. Every day, got to get $1,000 just to pay the taxes on the church. We only have church one time a day. So I'm having trouble figuring all that stuff out. But then all of a sudden, it hit my spirit. And I realized that God told me, you're called to do this. You're catching fish up here and you're throwing it back because they don't have a church, because people need a church. They need a building to go to. They need growth track. They need small groups, and they need community. When I say they, I mean you. Come on.
You don't think you need it, but you do need it. That's why you feel so jacked up all the time, and you're thinking that you need therapy. And you do need therapy, but you can't afford it, so you come to church, and God's fixing you right now. Can I get an amen? This is your therapy class right now. I'm dealing with your marriage. I'm dealing with your mind. I'm dealing with your money. I'm dealing with your children. I'm dealing with the broke mentality of your Cheerios and all that stuff. Break that generational curse in your life. So I got out there on the parking lot, and me and Nicole, and we started praying. We started walking around on our city parking lot. Listen to me, our city. Over there past the playground on the right side of the highway, you can hear the truck. You can hear everything. We think we're okay. But we're out there praying. God, we just declare in the name of Jesus, God, we're going to get this building. God, we don't have the money to do it, but we know that you're going to give us the money. God, you put it in our heart. Where it's God's, he provides. If it's God's will, it's God's bill. Now, my mind's saying, you can't afford this. You'll never get it. The tax is $1,000 a day. The electric bill is $20,000. Run, Forrest, run. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I don't have to do this because God got it for me. Yeah, God, you said in your word that every place in which your foot shall trod, you've given it. Now I got myself all worked up and I'm crying, and Nicole's crying, and we're screaming and praying, and somebody heard us, and they thought that we were fighting, so they called the cops. So the cops show up to deal with the domestic disturbance, and they came out, and we're screaming and crying and praying, and they said, what's going on here? And I said, you just don't understand. God's going to give us this building. They said, no, this building is a Grand Prix Raceway. I said, someday, this building's going to be a church. He said, nobody, I don't believe you. Give me your ID. I got to check you and run you. So they ran our ID, and then 2 months later, the guy came back, and we were on the parking lot, and we owned the church, and I said, I told you we were going to get this. We decided, then we decreed, and then we received. And I'm about to go there and preach twice today. I'm telling you, you can't lose speaking what God said about you. I'll give you 10 seconds of praise. 9, 8, 7. Some of you are about to go.
So it feels weird. But on the way home today, maybe you should drive by the good neighborhood. On your way to the trailer park, drive through the good neighborhood. And you go, I might live there someday. Maybe you ought to drive through the car lot. Well, it seems like there'd be some good deals on some big SUVs right now because gas is so expensive. I think it might be a good time for me to be looking around at a motorhome. You want to buy a motorhome? Right now's your time. You're sitting on because you don't believe this. But I understand, it's only week 2. But by week 4, I want you to listen to this over and over. And if you missed last week, rewind and get this in your heart to where you actually believe. Because remember, it kept saying, believe, speak and believe, speak and believe. You can speak it and not believe it. But eventually, you just start believing. In fact, have you ever heard about people that told a lie so long they actually believed the lie and they passed the lie detector test because they believed that they did not steal that money? Yep. Raise your hand, or I'm assuming it's you and you don't want to admit that anything's going on. Language is important. In Genesis 11, you can read the whole story, but it's about this group of people who are building, you've heard this, the Tower of Babel. We get our word, hey, he's babbling, from this account. And they decided that they were going to build a tower that went all the way up into the heavens, and they were actually getting it done. Then God decided, and this is the key point in verse 7, God said, come, let us go down there and confuse their language. Notice he didn't say, stop their progress, have a union workout, pull their permits. No, he said, we need to go down there and confuse their language, because he knew if they could confuse their language, they wouldn't understand where they were going. Verse 8. So the Lord dispersed them all over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, the name of the city is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the people. People are so confused about their language, because they hear the word, and they receive the word with gladness, but they don't continue in the word in renewing their mind. Raise your hand if I'm making sense to you. I just need to know if you're catching this, because sometimes it becomes so natural to me. It'd be like me and Arden. He's a pilot and I'm a pilot. We could have a conversation about the Bernoulli principle. We could have a conversation about, you know, the flaps, short field takeoff, cumulus nimbus clouds, all kinds of stuff, and we'd be over your head and you wouldn't even know what's happening. You know how to ride an airplane, he knows how, and I know how to fly airplanes, so sometimes I got to slow down and go, are you getting it? So that's what I'm trying to get. Are you at least putting the dots together
and saying, man, what I say really matters. Raise your hand. So now you need accountability. Zeke and Arden, sometimes me and Arden traveled together a whole lot back in the day. And when Susie wasn't with us on a trip, he would always say, we need to split our meal and because we both don't eat all this food. And then the lady would come up and ask us for dessert. You want dessert? And he'd say, no, we care what we look like. Now, he's 110 years old, but look at him. Come on, somebody. It's unbelievable. He was up in age, passing his flight physical. I'm just here to tell you that when I first started the church, I tried to get him and get in the old people group, you know, and the senior groups. They'd be like, I'm not hanging out with a bunch of old people. You talk about their pains and their grudges. Now, if you want us to go to students, we'll go there. To save my life, they've always done everything I asked, but they never, ever would do what I told them to do and get in the old people group because they said, we ain't getting the old people group because the old people group done over and we ain't over. We've only just begun. And here they are, come on somebody, well up in advance in chronological age, but their youth is being renewed like the eagle. Well, I got to leave, but Susie, come here. You and Arden, come here. I want to show this little woman right here. There was a huge storm that was coming, a tornado, and it was heading to where they live in Union, Missouri. And they live in just this big, huge mansion. The columns on this thing are massive, okay? She loves her house, and so she decided that tornado was not going to get her house. She'd been watching on the news, and she saw that it was heading right down 44 to their house on a golf course. So some of y'all agree, she's not real big on the outside, but she's real big on the inside. So she gets out on the front porch, and she says, in the name of Jesus, you tornado, you're not coming near my house. You go that way in Jesus' name. That's the way it'll be. That's the way I want it. Walk back in the house and shut the door. The tornado went and ran down and ripped DeSoto, Missouri to shreds. Now we showed the testimony at church. The footage was incredible. Reenacted her, what she said. And guess who got mad? All the people from DeSoto. My God, why'd you send it to DeSoto? To Susie replied and said, well, when I sent it to DeSoto, you should have sent it to Alabama. And then you should have sent it to Mississippi. And then you should have sent it out to the sea where it belongs. Because we have authority and we have dominion. And whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You are a speaking spirit. Somebody ought to give God praise for that. She said she's got a whole book she's getting ready to publish about what I'm just preaching about, and I guarantee you, it's called Bye Bye Storm. Come on. Bye bye bye. Bye bye storm. Come on, that's a good one. How many of y'all, we ought to just say that, bye bye storm. So financial adversity, bye. Hurricane, bye. Stress, bye. Somebody ought to stand up with me. I got to go. I'm 2 minutes over. I want you guys to stay with me. I want to pray for people. Man. I really do have to go. I got so much in me. I'm just sitting here oh my God, I'm so aggravated that I can't get this thing out. It's like having a baby, but it ain't all the way out. And you're like, I got to go. It's like, I really do. But I promise you this. Yeah. If you'll do what I'm telling you to do, if you only do 10% of this, it'll revolutionize your life. If you never come to all 4 weeks and not miss, and then do those seven things that we talk about. Let's throw out the seven things. One of which is to fast secular music. Two, listen to worship music. Turn off the world. Get in the word. Pray 7 minutes. Go to church. Practical. If you do the seven things, you won't recognize yourself a year from now. You'll go, I am not the same person that I used to be. I was a single mom who thought I needed a man. Come to find out I was a single mom who already had a man. And now I'm interviewing people to see who I want to live in my house. Somebody ought to say amen to this right now. That's what will happen to you. Stretch your hands toward me here and online around the world. Father, I come in agreement right now with Arden and Susie. Yeah. And God, we say bye-bye storm. We say bye to the adversity, bye to the setbacks. And we decree and declare right now that our best days and blessed days are out ahead of us. That God, we're going to apply the information that we got. We're going to get in a small group today. The people who've been on the fence about growth track, today's the day it's over. They're going to get in growth track because they need to be around other people like Arden and Susie. And they're in groups and they've been in groups. There are young groups, but they're in groups. And God, we decree and declare right now that we're going to be in a group where iron sharpens iron, and we're going to come out this next month, this next year, in our preferred future. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. Give it up for Pastor Mark as you're seated.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church Podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app, and right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody. Share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.